We'll try and follow you when we can. If you don't stop, Jack knows that. If we make it, we'll make it. Watch for us.
You play mean pool, Ryan.
Ginsberg pulled his head back inside.
First shot, Jack, you lay the metal flat. Aim for the middle and keep your head down. See you later.
Ryan and JB slipped away into the streaming darkness. The pounding rain drowned out any possibility of the Sekhmen hearing the cautious approach of the two men. Conversely, it meant that they might not hear any Sekhmen moving their way. Ryan took the lead, his reloaded six-hour drawn and ready. Water streamed down his face, seeping behind the patch covering his left eye and flooding the socket. His coat was sodden and heavy, trailing around his knees. JB trudged along at his heels, head down, cursing the rain for covering his glasses, making it hard for him to see where he was going. Ryan picked a route that took them around the rear of the nearest house, then along an alley that paralleled the road. When he judged they were close to the set block, he cut through into the overgrown, dank front garden.
There.
Red, blast this dark dust and weather. Couldn't see a sticky at 5 paces. Wait, Ryan. Gotta clean my glasses or we're chilled meat.
The battered and much-traveled fedora that JB always wore had reappeared from under the furs that he'd been wearing, and now clung to his head like a wet sponge. Ryan waited, peering out through the dripping yew bushes that stood between them and the group of Sekhmen.
Ready?
Sure. Now that I've cleaned my glasses, we better start shooting before I go blind again.
A vivid claw of purple lightning tore the sky apart a mile or so to the north of them, followed by a stunning peal of thunder, the sound rolling on and on. Ryan chewed at his lip, realizing that an electrical storm would make it difficult for Jack to see when they started blasting. But the single flash wasn't repeated, though the rain pelted them with a redoubled ferocity. The air seemed full of water, and Ryan had the illusion that if he tipped his head back, he might drown. Both men were soaked through to the skin, and cold water had trickled down their legs to fill their boots. Ryan had read some books about old-time battles when they had flintlocks and matchlocks. Rain like this could wash out 2 entire armies. Despite the streaming weather, Ryan had every confidence that his blaster wouldn't let him down. A wooden gate, hanging by a single rusted hinge, opened onto the leaf-covered, rain-slick sidewalk. The lights of the wags used to form the roadblock glittered through the spanking rain, and they could see the Sekhmen now, all wearing bright yellow oilskins. Somehow the slickers made them less menacing, more human. Ryan shook his head to try to clear his hair from his eye, then glanced at JB to check that his friend was ready to start the party. JB nodded his agreement, and then the shooting began. Zemyanin spat on the ground near one of the corpses. The rain had washed away the blood that had gushed from their slit throats, leaving the wounds like bulging white mouths in the bleached skin. He fought to maintain his calm in front of nearly 100 Sekhmen, several of whom were senior officers.
Too late.
They took a truck.
Ah. I hadn't considered that possibility. I had believed that the American Eagle had flown in from New York and picked them up in its beak.
Nobody else offered the Major Commissar any helpful suggestions. Aliyev stood waiting, panting slightly from his exertions, waiting for further orders. Normally, he would have been able to follow the wag without any difficulty, but the cloudburst had washed away the tire tracks and swilled the air free of any scent. It was a cruel blow.
A stolen truck can't be that difficult to trace. Contact every roadblock we have out and tell them to watch out for...
The captain third class, to whom he was speaking, suddenly held up a hand and bent his head to listen to the faint crackling of the talkie clipped to the lapel of his oilskin. Everyone watched intently, looking for some clue that the news might relate to the fleeing Americans and maybe get them off the barbed hook of the Major Commissar's wrath. The junior officer nodded, muttered something, then listened. He asked for clarification, listened to the response, and signed off. Zemyanin had managed to contain his impatience by turning his mind to different and happier thoughts, like the contents of a garbage bag that he'd seen off the premises of his apartment, and his dear wife Anya, and her sudden decision to go on vacation, a vacation that might be somewhat extended.
Well, Comrade Captain?
The young man smiled, revealing a mouth of the most rotten teeth Zemyanin had ever seen.
Yes, Comrade Major Commissar. The main roadblock southwest at Nikulino reports being under attack. They say they are returning fire.
The stolen truck?
They said...
His transceiver began to squawk again, and he listened to it, head cocked to one side. When he turned back to Zemyanin, the smile had disappeared, as though struck from his face by lightning.
Bad news, Comrade Major Commissar.
JB and Ryan ran through the deserted gardens. The thunderous rain had abated to a steady, gentle drizzle.
Like taking Jack from a blind mutie.
The plan had worked perfectly. The Sec-Man had no idea what was hitting them. All they knew was that they were being picked off, one after another. Two or three made a half-hearted attempt to defend themselves, kneeling by the parked wags and firing a few hesitant rounds into the blackness. Ryan didn't want to waste too much ammo on a pointless bloodletting. That wasn't the idea. All they needed to do was to deter the Sec Patrol from stopping Jack and Rick and their own armored wag. 400 paces up the street, Jack could make out the sudden confusion and panic among the Sec men as the bullets began to cut them down. He engaged a low gear, raced the engine, and pushed down on the gas, feeling the heavy wag shudder as it built up power and speed. It roared through the streams of rainwater toward the gap, the center of the Sec block. Rick squinted through the reinforced windshield.
Oh, shit!
Jack's hair streamed behind him like a crazed magnesium flare, his red eyes fixed on the two wags dead ahead. As they closed within 100 yards, he realized that the space wasn't quite as wide as it had appeared from down the road. It was barely the width of their wag. Only one of the Sec men braced his legs and tried to shoot at them, managing to get off 3 or 4 ill-aimed rounds from his Kalashnikov before he was hit simultaneously through the chest by bullets from Ryan and JB. The thundering wag caught one of the Sec vehicles, slewing it sideways in a tangle of torn metal. But the armor truck's greater weight and speed carried it clear through and away, on down the road into the southwest, away from Moscow, and toward the dacha and safety. And leaving Ryan and JB behind to make their own way out.
Hold it, Ryan.
What's up?
Glasses again. Sweat and rain don't mix well. Won't be...
The words disappeared as he bent his head over the spectacles.
Reload now. Can't hear any pursuit.
They were a mile past the roadblock, following the winding heavy river. Its sullen rumbling was the only sound they could hear, though there'd been sirens and a scream a few minutes back. It was looking good. JB checked his reload, then snapped the mag snugly into place.
Reckon the kid should get the Freezy on through.
Sure. Jack's good. Better than he knows. Those damaged wags will block the road off for their own vehicles. He can get close enough to go in on foot. Help Rick where he needs it.
This rain could stop. Make tracking him easy over the last mile or so.
The armorer had a fair point. It was one of the reasons that time was vital.
Yeah. Could be we travel in the light. What do you reckon?
Nah. Too many eyes and ears about. We'd stand out like a knife in an eyeball. Now, do what we planned. Make some miles. Stop around dawn.
At one point, the route out of Moscow ran along a narrow embankment. All around, there were signs of the devastating nuking of a century earlier, and the old track lay buried beneath a vast, stinking swamp. The heavy rains had washed away one edge of the road. It was close to dawn, and Ryan and JB waited on the bill side of the levee, deciding whether to cross it now or wait for the next evening. They could see that a gang of men was already at work repairing the rain damage. But there was a sinuous mist oozing from the morass on either side,